Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
One and five through the first six games, where everybody thought this is going to be one heck of a gauntlet for the team. The only problem is, you could have won several of those games. You won one you probably shouldn't have, the one you did win. And then yesterday, just befuddling.
Befuddling. What a great word, Jeff.
Befuddling. Well, wasn't it, though?
Yes, it was.
Let's go to the fan hotline. He's our buddy who joins us every Monday at 11 o'clock. We really appreciate that. His work can be read at brownzone.com. Does a great job covering the Browns for the Chronicle Telegram. He's Mr. Scott Petrak. Hello, Scott.
Scotty.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're okay. We're both fed up. Riddle me this. You don't throw it well and you throw it 52 times. You run it well and you run it 17 times. Explain. Is there any explanation? I can't even fathom what the play calling was all about yesterday.
Well, I don't think they ran it well yesterday.
But they didn't run it poorly. They kind of abandoned the run.
Well, yeah. Well, there's two things. Like, I think at the end of the half, Judkins had, like, I don't know, 10 yards on six carries or 16 yards on six carries. Like, it wasn't a lot, but it wasn't good when he ran the ball. Now, does that mean you need to abandon it when it's only a 9-3 game? The answer is probably no. And you know, Joe Bitonio, who, you know, is the best guy in the world and the most loyal guy, I thought he expressed some frustration with that after the game, saying something like, you know, if we don't have success really early, then we get away from it. And I don't have the right quote in front of me, or the exact quote. But it was, you know, we got to be really good early or we're going to get away from it. And I know that the linemen don't like that. And they especially don't like it when that means you're going to throw it 52 times and it's against the Steelers pass rush. It's really good and makes the line look bad. And it's just tough to pass protect that often.
Scott, I loved his line when he said, if you're going to throw it 60 times, he's going to get hit.
Right. Right. And that's the reality. And at some point that game shifted where the Browns needed to throw it every down. Right. But it wasn't until the fourth quarter, I would argue, is when they had to do that. Now, I get it, and we've had this discussion time and again.
Yep.
I think it's hard as a play caller to call runs when you're getting 1 and 2 yards. It just is. It feels like you're beating your head against the wall. You know you have these pass plays in your playbook and in the game plan that are designed to work. You can get chunk plays, throwing the ball, and it's hard to keep doing that because then you also put yourself in third and long, which leads to your quarterback, you know, getting pressure and getting hit. So it's a tough spot as a coordinator, as a play caller. But looking back, I would agree with Joel, and I'd agree with you, Jeff, that they stopped running it earlier than they should have, and that's the only way you're going to keep the Steelers off balance at all, because we saw what happens when you just drop back. They just come after you, and the Browns line, especially at left tackle, is not ready to protect like it needs to be.
Scott, I think it was one play over 20 yards yesterday. How do they get more than 4 yards a play, especially when you're down, you're trying to get back in the game? I mean, they had long sustained drives that only resulted in 3 points in that fourth quarter. So how does the offense get bigger, better, and down the field?
Well, I mean, that's been an issue all year long, and it was again yesterday. And there's multiple facets here. One is you need to be able to protect to throw the ball down the field. And we've seen that the Browns have struggled in that area. And yesterday, to start the game, was as healthy as they've been since the opener. You had Jack Conklin back at right tackle. You had Cam Robinson at left tackle. That's as good as your line is probably going to be the rest of the year. And then Jack leaves in the third quarter. Robinson leads late, but struggled before that. But my point is, your quarterback needs to be able to sit in the pocket and wait for guys to get downfield. And that has not been the case. He just hasn't had that opportunity. So that makes it difficult. You need receivers that get open down the field, and that's also been a problem. And then you need the receivers to catch the ball when they're down the field. So this is all not even including the quarterback making the right throw, right? And that's why they're struggling offensively. That's why they're struggling for chunk plays. And it's because the protection hasn't been good enough, and the receivers aren't doing a good enough job getting separation, and then when they do get the ball, hanging on to the ball. So now what I'm kind of trying to get my head around is why it's so hard, right? It just feels like everything with this offense is so hard, and there's no easy plays, and there's no, okay, there's a busted cover and the guy's running loose, or, you know, Kevin Stefanski used to scheme up guys, right, where a guy would be running free coming across. It just doesn't feel like that anymore. And, you know, I don't know if it's because they're not doing the wide zone anymore, so there's not those play action looks that give you the wide open receivers. I don't know if it's simply the receiving core isn't as good. But everything is too hard. And I'm sure when you're Kevin Stefanski, that's got to be infuriating, because you look at other teams get some easy plays. Right? We saw the Steelers start off. That's an easy play. They run hard play action, the big tight end leaks out, and it's an easy play for 36 yards. And it doesn't feel like the Browns have had any of those this year.
Scott Petrak joining us from the Chronicle-Telegram. Two starts for Dillon Gabriel. Because of the way the game unfolded and asking him to throw it more times than anybody else threw the ball yesterday in the NFL, have we had a decent chance to evaluate him? And regardless, what have you thought?
Yeah, I don't think it's a fair evaluation, given, especially yesterday when he's hit 16 times. That's hard for any quarterback. I think he's been fine. You know, obviously he hasn't sparked the offense like the hope was when they made the move from Joe Flacco, right? They've scored 17 and 9, right, which is worse than the Flacco offense that was scoring. It's the first time they haven't scored a touchdown all year. So
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Gabriel has not had that impact. You know, he made some good throws yesterday. I'm, you know, rewatching the game. I'm in the fourth quarter. You know, there's some good throws. He missed some guys. He got lucky. There could have been, I don't know, 3-4 interceptions. You know, and part of that's because he's getting pressure and trying to get the ball out of his hands. You know, I think he's been fine. You know, I would expect them to give him more opportunities. I think that only makes sense to give more opportunities. I haven't seen anything where I'm like, oh, this guy has no chance to succeed in this league. You know, I don't think he makes a difference with his legs. You know, there's in coming off of Flacco, I think, oh man, he's got this mobility, and obviously he moves better than Flacco, and he probably moves better than Sanders, but he doesn't move well enough where that's going to change the game. You know, at least that's what I think I've seen through two games and watching him practice for months. So he's going to have to sit in the pocket or maybe slide just a little bit. And he's pretty good at just creating a little bit of space. And then it's got to be really accurate. And yesterday I thought it was up and down, but I don't think there's any way to say after two games that we have any kind of really good read on what Dylan Gabriel can be.
Hmm. All right, let me throw this one at you. Are Kevin Stefanski, Andrew Berry, Paul DePodesta, Jimmy and D Haslam, are they all thought partners right now? Or do you feel like the ground might be shaking underneath the front office?
I would, man, how could it not be shaky? You know, I don't know if we're talking earthquake shaky, but, you know, maybe when a train goes by and your house moves a little bit.
Mm.
What's the record? 4-19 since the start of 2024. That's really difficult. And I think what makes it even harder is the fact that the offense is so bad. Right? Like, it's hard to watch. Like, the games are not, you know, I mean, I have no problem watching, but you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
it's tough. I get my buddies texting me all the time, this is unwatchable, because if they were losing games 24 or 27-24, mm-hmm. you could say, hey, that was a little bit of fun, right? They moved the ball, they scored some points. But when it's 9, when it's 13, when it's 17, when it hasn't been 20 since December 2nd, that's just difficult, and it's hard, and it's not that fun. And, you know, you look at this roster, and, you know, we can talk about this rookie class, and there's a lot of promising things in this rookie class. But the receiving core isn't nearly good enough. No. And we knew that all offseason, and for some reason the Browns chose not to make enough moves to bolster that position group, and it's really killing this offense, and it's killing whoever's playing quarterback. And, you know, there's other deficiencies that this team has from a roster standpoint, and then you look at the coaching, and, well, they're not scoring points, and the guy calling the plays is ultimately responsible for that. So I don't, you know, it feels like, or they sound like they're all on the same page, but I know if I were Kevin Stefanski, I would – at least internally, and he's not going to say this to anybody, but I would feel if I, and he's never said this, but I would think, man, I don't have enough. I don't have enough to do what I need to do offensively to win games. My hands are tied, and I think that's a tough spot to be in as a coach, and I just think human nature, you'd be frustrated at the lack of, I think, talent that he has in the passing game.
So just backtrack a little bit here. If you're Kevin Stefanski, because we didn't get a chance to talk about this last week, it appeared, and I, again, this is pure speculation, that he may not have been all on board with trading Joe Flacco. Do you agree with that or disagree with that?
Yeah, I understand the speculation.
Yeah.
You know, when he says they were caught off guard, like, I think he's being honest that they just never thought that they would get an offer for Joe Flacco.
Mm.
Now, when the offer came, did he think, yeah, we should get rid of our veteran quarterback for, you know, to move up from the sixth to the fifth round? I don't know that. You know, I'm sure he would tell you it's Andrew's decision, mm-hmm. but that doesn't affect yesterday's game. Joe Flacco wasn't going to play yesterday.
Correct.
Right. Like,
right.
Joe Flacco went 1-3 and they benched him. So, you know, I don't know if either of those moves, you know, the other move last week with Newsom for Campbell, like, that caught Jim Schwartz off guard. I mean, he said he had to start watching film late Wednesday, that he wasn't, you know, consulted before the trade. I'm sure, like, it bothers the coaches to some degree, but like, I don't think either of those trades hurts the Browns necessarily this year, and I don't feel like either of those trades was a give-up on the season. It just is a little disconcerting if you're the coaches and you're preparing for a game, and all of a sudden your number two quarterback and your number two corner get traded.
Scott, last thought. Is there any chance that the marching orders for this season were, hey, don't worry about the results as much as you should worry about gaining information about the guys on this team?
I think that is the backdrop for everything, Jeff. I also think the reality is, everybody pays attention on Sundays. Everybody knows what your record is. And if they go 3-14, 3-14, it's hard as ownership to say, yeah, I'm good with that. Let's keep the status quo, especially when we know how frustrated and angry this fan base is. And ownership is not oblivious to that. Ownership hears it. And if wins did not matter at all this year, then they should make that abundantly clear. And I think the Haslam's had chances to say that. And, you know, they talked about the future, but never was it, yeah, this year doesn't matter at all for wins and losses. And I just think that's the reality of the situation. Now, maybe we get to January and it is 3-14 and the Haslams come out and say, hey, we were all in this for the rebuild and we had 14 rookies and blah, blah, blah. And we feel Kevin and Andrew are the right guys. But I think it's awfully difficult to say 3-14, 3-14, let's bring everybody back.
I'd agree with you. Mm-hmm. Scott, thanks, buddy. We'll listen for you during Kevin's press conference at 1 o'clock.
Thanks, Scott.
All right. Thanks, fellas.
Scott Petrek, brownzone.com. Always great to have Scott with us here on the show.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima. Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.